Okay, the passage for today is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 20 to 22. I'll read the verses. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Jacob, Joseph, and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. So last week and the week prior to that, we have seen how Abraham lived by faith, and how he obtained a good testimony through his life. And we've learned several things from his life, and how he, despite of all the things that he had to go through, when everything seemed to be against him, he still had faith and he trusted upon God, and he obtained the promises because of that. And then the writer here, he goes on further, and then he talks about Isaac blessing Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So we saw how Isaac was the fulfillment of what God has promised Abraham. And we heard last week, if you recall the verses that were shared, in verses 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Okay. So in verse 18 we saw that Isaac was the seed, and he was the promised son. Okay. In Isaac everything is going to be fulfilled. So and we see that God's word here in Genesis chapter 17 verse 19, and God said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. So everything that God has promised Abraham concerning the things that would happen in the future, how he would possess the land and how his seed would be as a multitude of stars and the multitude of sand, is all going to be completed in fulfilled through Isaac being born. Okay, so here you have a person who is the promise. Okay, now to him belonged all the inheritance. Whatever God has promised to Abraham belonged to Isaac. That is what God has told him. I am going to give it to your seed, and your seed will possess it. So Isaac is everything that God has promised Abraham. Okay, but we see Isaac's life, very little is mentioned about Isaac's life in the book of Genesis. I think it's not more than three chapters that are talking about him and what are the things that he's done. And we see that Isaac, though he was the promised son, he still lived by faith. Okay? And he did not become like the one who would, you know, usually we know in this world, like the one who inherits everything that his father has is the most spoiled person, right? And he has no care, he doesn't care for anybody, let alone God, right? But we see Isaac was not like that, and Isaac was someone who lived by faith, and he was also a sojourner along with his father. Okay, that's how Isaac lived his life. We see in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 10, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, talking about Abraham, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, and heirs with him of the same promise. So we see Isaac mentioned here that he has sojourned with his father, living in the tabernacles. Okay? So he is not like this one who would say, hey guys, this is all mine, this is what is promised, I am the promised child, right here everything belongs to me, right? That's not how he lived his life, but we find that he lived in such a way that he lived a life of a sojourner just like his father, okay? And we see that he blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the things to come. And this basically talks about, in the context here, these are the way they have lived their lives. It has nothing to do, it has very little to do with the immediate things that would happen in their lives, okay? It has more to do with what is going to happen in the future. And that's what we find in the book of Hebrews, talking about their lives. In the way they lived their lives, they lived as though they did not own anything. Okay? Though they were living in the land that was promised to them. They were staying there. But as we've heard in the previous messages, God has not given them any portion, not even to set their foot upon. Okay? And they've not received anything. But they live the life of a sojourner. And we see that in Hebrews chapter 11 verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them far off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they have been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, and heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. Okay? So Isaac, we see the city that he was also looking for. The inheritance that God has promised, Isaac understood, the inheritance that God has promised his father, Abraham, was not going to be the land that he has right now there. Okay? He understood that very clearly. Through the actions of his father, he learned that what he is looking for is a city which God has prepared for them. Okay? It's not the city that they are right now sojourning in, but rather the city that is going to come in the future. So concerning these things is what Isaac had blessed Jacob and Esau. And we know that Jesus Christ has become the high priest of good things to come in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 11. And the promises that are made are far more better promises. And these are the promises that they were looking for. Okay, this is a city that they were looking for. An inheritance that Isaac was looking for was an eternal inheritance. An inheritance that does not fade away. Okay, and we see that in Hebrews chapter 9 verse 15, that the promise of eternal inheritance is given through Jesus Christ. For this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. So it is the eternal inheritance that Isaac was seeking. Okay, just like his father, Abraham was seeking a city that was from above, the city which is built by God Himself. A city that would come down from heaven, as we saw in the previous message. It's the same city that Isaac was looking for. Okay, so in one sense, I think we could say Isaac was really looking forward to the day when he would be raised from the dead. Okay, and he was looking forward for his resurrection. And this is a very interesting thing that Jesus Christ also says. He quotes from the book of from the event where God appeared to Moses in the bush, and then he goes and Jesus Christ says, as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Okay. So here it tells us that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all these three people, they look forward to the resurrection. Okay? When God addresses Isaac, God addresses him as, I'm the God of your father Abraham. When God addresses Jacob, he says, I'm the God of your father Abraham and your father Isaac. Okay, so but you could say they are dead, but you know what, they are dead but they are looking forward for that resurrection day. Okay, so we, it's very clear here that they were all looking forward for the day when they would be raised from the dead. Okay, and that's what their faith was in. Okay, and this is what the things that Isaac had blessed Jacob and Esau. Okay, about what is going to happen in the future and the day that Jacob is going to receive the blessings. It's through Jacob the blessings are going to Abraham's blessings are going to be given to Jacob. But if we know, if we see the account that is written in the book of Genesis, we find a very different picture about Isaac. Okay, there's nothing mentioned about him going through trials and tribulations, except for the fight that he has with I think it's Abimelech, in which they fought for the wells, and a famine that he goes through. Except for that, there's nothing much written about his life. Okay, and then he also, we also know that Isaac always loved Esau. Okay, and we find that in Genesis chapter 25, verse 28, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Okay, so Isaac had two sons as we know it. And first one was Esau and the second one was Jacob. And it was already told before the children were born that the younger is going to rule over the elder. Okay, that Jacob is going to be ruler over Esau. Okay, it's already told. But even then, Isaac has a preference towards Esau. He wanted to make sure that Esau was the one who would receive the inheritance. Okay, so this phrase, going back here to Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. I think we could understand this in two different ways. The first one, as we already spoke, in the way that he lived by faith like a sojourner. Okay, and in the second way is that by faith he blessed Jacob in obedience to God. Okay, so and that's the second way I would see this portion, because it was against his desires to bless Jacob. Okay, though he knew about it, he did not want to give heed to that, but rather he wanted to make sure that Esau would receive the blessings. And we all know this story that happened. Isaac calls Esau, tells him to go and get him some food. While Esau is gone, Rebekah, who heard these words, calls Jacob and tells him to put on a skin that would make him feel like as though he is Esau, and prepares a meal for him. And Jacob goes in, and then he deceives his father, and he receives the blessing. And when Esau returns back, we find that Jacob had already taken the blessing and he's gone. And Esau, when he comes back, he pleads with his father, but then Isaac refuses to give any more blessing to him. Okay, and I think that's how Isaac had proved his faith despite of his own shortcomings in terms of showing a favoritism towards his son, from what seems to be the most natural thing to do for him. Okay, by sight it seems like the most natural thing to do is to call your son, who is a hunter, who is capable of doing things, who is capable of providing for his family, and give him the blessing. Okay, but we see that Isaac finally, in the next chapter, he understands the hand of God in receiving the blessing. Okay, so we know that God it's totally opposite in terms of God. When Isaac loved Esau, It's opposite with God, as it is written, Jacob I have loved, but Esau have I hated. Okay, and we also see that God had a special love towards Jacob, in which he calls him the apple of his eye in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 10. Okay, so we see that even after knowing that Jacob has deceived him, and he has taken away the blessing that he intended to give Esau, Isaac finally acknowledges the hand of God in his life. Okay, he then calls Jacob a second time. Okay, this is in Genesis chapter 28. Genesis chapter 27 is where the whole story happened, in which the deception took place and all that. Right? But in Genesis chapter 28, and Isaac called Jacob and blessed him. This the second time he does that. And charged him and said unto him, Thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. Arise, go to Padan Aram, to the house of Bethuel, thy mother's father, and take thee a wife from thence of the daughters of Laban, thy mother's brother, and God Almighty bless thee, and make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. And these are very important words right here. And give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee, and to thy seed with thee, that they mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which God gave unto Abraham. Okay? So this is the first time this is the actual place in which it is mentioned that he gives him the blessing of Abraham. Okay? And I think Isaac knew in one sense that it was not, he was being deceived. Okay? Because he realizes that it was the voice, as he says in his own words, the voice is the voice of his second son Jacob, but his hands felt like Esau's. Okay? So he definitely acknowledges God's hand here, though the text doesn't say exactly, but I think that's what we could imply here, that God is the one who's in control of in this situation. And we also know what happened with Esau, because Esau had despised his birthright, and he forsook it so that he could just satisfy his hunger for that point. Okay. And we do see that in Genesis chapter 25 verses 32 to 34, in which Esau despised his birthright. But today it's about Isaac. So and this is how I understood the passage in two ways, that Isaac lived by faith. Though he was in one sense the promise, in which he should possess everything that was told to Abraham, but yet he lived like a sojourner. And his words to Jacob, as we just read, he said, "We are still sojourners." Okay, that's how he blesses Jacob also. So he understood that it was not at this point in time in his life that he's going to receive the blessings, okay? But that in the future to come. And with that faith, he blesses his son Jacob, okay? And he calls him and he tells him, though he has nothing to do, give Jacob, you could say, well, Jacob could have asked easily, where is the blessing? You know what? There is no blessing right now, because that's what he's saying here. Give you the blessing of Abraham, and to thee and to thy seed, with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, okay, which God gave unto Abraham. He's telling him, he's confessing to him, see, we are strangers here. This land doesn't belong to us now. But, you know, he's actually, in one sense, he's preaching him the gospel. He's telling him, there's going to be a day that is going to come when the city of God will come onto this earth, and that's when we will receive the blessing which is promised. Okay, so I think that's what it means by this passage right here that we read, that Abraham sojourned with Isaac and Jacob in the land as though they were strangers and pilgrims. Okay, so all three of them they've not received any promise as we see, except for a burial ground. Okay, except for a burial ground which Abraham had bought. Okay. Except for that, there's no. They have not received the blessing as God has told them, And it seems very, the way they led their life, the way they, the things they were going through was totally opposite to what God has told them. Okay? And yet they lived by faith. And they were looking forward for that day when they would be raised. And that's why God is, our God is known as the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. Okay? And what a great privilege it is to be known as though their God. Okay? If my God is known by, you know, God of Stephen, that would be like a, such a great honor. Okay? And that didn't come to them very easily. Okay? And they live by faith. They face lot of hardship. And we find that more in the life of Jacob here and also in Joseph. That they went through a lot, but despite of all that, they live by faith. Okay? So he blessed him concerning the things to come. And we, and when we come to Jacob here, now Jacob also is a sojourner, right? As we just read, and right from the beginning, from his life, okay, when he was born, Jacob's life was he was always struggling. Okay, in a sense, he was always struggling. Everything seemed to be against him. Okay. We see that it's through deception he received the promises through his father. But after that, he's running away from his family. Okay, he's living all alone in the wilderness. In fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 32 verse 10, it says, he found him in a desert land and in the waste following wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eye. Talks about Jacob here. Moses is talking about Jacob. It was in a desert land that God found Jacob. Okay? And in a wasteland, in the wilderness, that's how Jacob's life was. Okay? But God, through his mercy, as we've read here, that it was God through his mercy and because of his love, he made him the apple of his eye. And so he goes to his uncle's house, but even there he's deceived, right? He works 7 years for Rachel and he gets Leah. And then he's asked to work for another 7 more years, okay? 14 years he works for Rachel. And then his father-in-law deceives him, not exactly deceives him, but you know, makes it hard for him to have any possessions, okay? And changes his wages several times, and we know that he actually was living like a slave in his father-in-law's house, but you think about it, all this while Jacob had to have something in his mind, something that would motivate him to go through all these things. What was it that was motivating Jacob to go through all this? Okay. He goes further and then he runs away from his father-in-law's house and his father-in-law comes after him trying to kill him, right? And then could he go any more further? No, because he's going back to his brother Esau and Jacob doesn't know what's going to happen to him. Well, Jacob goes, meets his brother Esau. By God's grace, Esau doesn't do anything to him. But is that the end of the story and Jacob lived happily ever after? No, he loses his son, his beloved son, whom he thought would be inheriting all his promises. And I think Jacob intended to give the birthright, the firstborn rights to Joseph. And Joseph is dead. And Joseph is not there. And he is crying. Well, would that end? Would that stop? Is that the end of his life? No. It goes on further that they go through famine. And he is put in a place in which he probably might lose Benjamin also. Okay? This is from the eyes of Jacob. Okay? So he goes through a lot of things and everything is completely against the odds. Okay? There's no way you could say that he's enjoying the blessings that were promised to him and that he received it. Okay? Everything is completely against him, but still he was looking forward. And I think all this is summed up in the way it is written, by faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And I think this in a way sums up his entire life. Because if you come up to this point that we discussed just now, there was no way Jacob would be able to see the sons of Joseph, because Joseph is dead. Okay? Would he even dream one day, I'm going to see the sons of Joseph and I'm going to give the blessing? Okay? There was no way possible for him at that point in time. He was living completely by faith. That's all he had to do. And he, because he knew, and I think he knew he was not going to give the blessing to his firstborn Reuben, right? Because he knew Reuben had defiled his bed, and Reuben is not going to receive the reward. So someone had to receive, okay? Someone had to get it. And Jacob is constantly put in a position in which he probably will not be able to do it. And he has this faith, and this is what Jacob tells in the last, just before he died, he calls Joseph to his bed, and he tells him this. And Jacob said unto Joseph, and he, I think in this passage he's telling him what has kept him in all his life, okay, in all through his journeys, what has kept him. He says, I think this is what he says, and Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at last in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful, and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. Okay. So Jacob had this promise set in front of him. Okay. He went through all that in his life, whatever he had to go through, he went through it, because he had kept this promise and he knew God will make this happen. Okay? Well, think about it. He has seen two generations of people who have not received any promise. Right? He has seen his grandfather Abraham, who has not received any piece of land. Okay? He has seen his own father Isaac, who has not received anything. But yet, Jacob here, who has not received anything, and he is now living in a foreign land, in Egypt, under the mercy of Joseph, and he is telling him that God had blessed me and he had promised with me that he is going to give me a land. Okay? You would think that Jacob here is talking about the land, the Canaan land, that in which he sojourned. Of course not. He is looking forward, as we know, he is looking forward for that, the everlasting blessing, a day when this inheritance will not be taken away from the seed of Jacob, okay, from the seed of Abraham, that it would be given to them for an everlasting possession. A day when the seed of Abraham would possess the gates of the enemies, and in which they would rule and reign over all the earth. Okay, so Jacob remembers these words, and he's amazed at how God has worked things in his life. Okay, and we find that in Genesis chapter 48 verse 11, and Israel said unto Joseph, I had not thought to see thy face, and lo, God had showed me also thy seed. So Jacob never thought that he would see Joseph again in his life. Okay, he knew he was dead, and he grieved and grieved for many days for his son. Okay, but he acknowledges God's hand in his life, and he says, God has showed me not just you, but I could also see your children. Okay, and I think this is the reason why he worships God also in this passage here. And we know that he endured so many years of his life. I think he died at 147 years, and he was 130 years when he reached Egypt. All these 130 years, okay, minus 40 years he was in his father's home, more or less. The rest of the years, everything was completely against him, but yet he lived by faith, okay, and he finally got to put his hands upon Joseph's children, okay. And I think the passage here, in a way, it summarizes everything that Joseph had to go through, because it was completely against the odds that Joseph would ever see Jacob's children, okay, Manasseh and Ephraim and Manasseh, that he would ever see them, okay. but it is totally by faith. It is because of his faith. And faith in what? In the promises that God has made him, as we just read. Right? And he kept this promise in front of him. And that's why, that's what kept him through all the things that he had to go through. Hebrews chapter 10 verse 35 says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which has great recompense of reward, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise." Okay? So we see Jacob never casting away the confidence that he had in the promises of God. He always trusted upon God, and he always sought after God. And we find several times that God spoke to Jacob, okay, regarding what is going to happen. And we know, though it doesn't, the text itself in Genesis, it doesn't say anything about faith, we know for sure that he lived by faith. Okay? He lived by faith in the promises that God has made him. Okay? And that's what kept him, going. And he never cast his confidence away, even though his son died. Okay? His son died, and it could seem like it's a situation of despair, like there's no more hope for Jacob. Okay? It could seem like that, but even then, because of his faith, he was able to put his hands upon Joseph's children and bless them. So I think that's how I understood these passages. And also there is a thing about him leaning upon his staff and worshipping. I don't think there are some people who say that he's worshipping idols and stuff like that. I think that's very weird. But I don't think so. That's what it means. We know for sure he's worshipped God because he acknowledged God in his life. And as we just said, in Jacob's own words, that he never expected to see his son Joseph, but God has brought him to see his children also. Okay, and so that's about Jacob here. And next we see by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Okay, so. Joseph, who's witnessed all these things in his father's life, he makes a promise with the children of Israel concerning his burial. Okay? We know that Joseph was told by Jacob that God is going to come and visit, okay? Because that is what God has promised Jacob before he went into Egypt. Okay. In Genesis chapter 48 verse 21, "And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you and bring you again unto the land of your fathers." Okay. So this is something Joseph has heard. Okay. It seems the most odd thing to do is to go back to the land of Canaan at this point. Because here you have Joseph, who's the ruler, right? And he's gotten the best portion of Egypt for his family, and they're all being fed well and taken care of, and they're multiplying. Everything is going fine. But you see, even in prosperity, even in times when everything was going fine, they had their eyes set upon the promise. Okay? And that's what Jacob is instructing Joseph here. Okay? He's telling his son Joseph that I'm going to die, but God is going to be with you and he's going to bring you back to the land of our fathers. We are not going to stay in Egypt. Okay? So it's very unlikely that Israel should ever go out of Egypt, but Joseph, he calls his right in the midst when he was going through a very good time in his life, when everything is working out. Okay, he's gone through a lot of trouble in Egypt, but right now he's in a position where he's become the ruler. Okay, and uh, in a way his dreams have come true, right? But then he calls his brethren in Genesis chapter 50 verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from hence. Okay? So we see the confession of Joseph here also, in that he made them to swear that he should not be buried here in Egypt forever, but that they should carry his bones. He knew that it's going to be a long time when God visits. Okay? That's for sure, because he's making mention of his bones. And that they should carry him, his bones, back to the place which is promised to them. And that's where Joseph wanted to be buried. Okay? And I don't think so it is this thing here is a passage of sentimentality. Okay? That's not what is here. As the book of Hebrews writes, it was by faith. Okay? It was by faith he mentioned that God will for sure visit, and God will for sure give the promises that he has made to his great-grandfather Abraham, his grandfather Isaac, and his father Jacob. And that it was, as we saw in the book of Hebrews earlier, that it was God who promised by his own name. Okay? God has promised by his own name that he is going to come, he is going to let the promise come to pass. Okay? So I think Joseph here, he clearly understood that he is going to be, they are not going to live in Egypt forever. That is not God's plan for them. But that they are going to go into the land of promise one day, and they are going to receive a blessing there. Okay? We do see that this, the fulfillment of it. And in Exodus chapter 13 verse 19, and Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away from away hence with you. Okay. So as long as children of Israel lived in Egypt, bones of Jacob was there always. Okay, and I think it was it served as a memorial to them. It served as a reminder to them that God is going to visit them, and he's going to take them away from this land. And we do see the children of Israel crying out to God in Exodus chapter 2 verse 23, and that they remembered God and the promises that were made to them. Okay, and I think the tomb of Joseph that was there in Egypt always reminded them of that. Though the passage doesn't say, but I think definitely we can imply that. Okay, so all these three people that we've just read actually lived their lives in such a way that everything is completely gone against them. Okay? There was nothing. It was almost a situation of despair for them. Okay, and I think it is a great lesson for us to learn, because we get dismotivated in our faith by small silly things that we go through in our lives. Okay. It could be just a leaking tap, you know what I mean? And we lose all our faith, and we focus so much upon the things that we are going through in this life. Okay? But I think these men, that the examples that we are studying here in the book of Hebrews, they have lived a life that is beyond just the natural way of living. Okay. In the sense that they were not just occupied with the things that they are going through in their lives, but they had kept the promise in front of them. And they've lived by faith, and they ran towards obtaining those the inheritance, the promises that God has given to them. And I think that is how the writer is also going to conclude, furthermore, going that these people have gone ahead of us, and they are all waiting for us to complete our race also. Okay? And I think it's a great motivation to learn from their lives. And I found this one verse in Psalms 141. And I think this talks so much about Joseph's. And I'm sure we can apply this to Joseph. Because this was his testimony that though he died, he would die. God would visit his children and God would complete his promises. Okay? Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. And I'm sure this was the prayer of Joseph. Though his bones would be in Egypt for a while, he still believed. He set his eyes upon the Lord and he knew that one day he would be raised to inherit the promises that were given to his fathers. Okay. So this is a very short passage and very little is also mentioned about them, and especially about Joseph's bones. There's not much mentioned anywhere else in the Bible, but I think we can understand from their lives and the things that they've gone through, and especially the situations that are mentioned here in the book of Hebrews. The place it says that this is what their act of faith was. Okay, and I think it summarizes their lives and it tells us that they lived by faith and they did not look, they did not consider their situation, they did not consider the pleasures that they could enjoy at that time, but rather they look forward for the day when they would receive the city which is built by God. Okay. So I hope it motivates us and helps us to understand this passage.